Matthew 5, verse 9, these are God's words. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Within the Gospel of Matthew, this blessedness of being called God's son is one that is uniquely Christ's. It's the name into which he commands the apostles to baptize is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord will say of him, God will say of him, this is my beloved Son. And you, of course, remember at his baptism just a chapter and a half ago, chapter 3, verse 17, that when he saw the heavens opened, and he heard, and he saw from the opened heavens the dove descent, he also heard from the open heavens, this is my beloved Son. And so the peacemaking God has displayed himself in his triune character there, following Christ's baptism when he had come up from the water, away from the water. Therefore God has displayed himself as a peacemaking Father who has sent his well-pleasing Son to be the one who brings in the kingdom and brings us into the kingdom. And in order to bring us into the kingdom, as we've been hearing since the beginning of chapter 3, we need to be converted. We need to have not our opinions changed, but the very character of our mind changed. Be ye converted, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now that message on Jesus' lips is especially the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, because he comes not baptizing with water, but he is the one who will pour out his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is the one who gives that conversion. So the Father has been a peacemaking Father in sending his Son who makes peace. The Son is the peacemaking Son who has come to secure our peace. And the Spirit whom he sends out, or pours out, is the peacemaking Spirit who gives us that light for our minds and life for our hearts that we may respond rightly to him. And so here is the highest honor that can be received, to be called the sons of God. And this is going to be given not only the Son, who is everlasting, eternal creator, but in union with him and the indwelling of God's Spirit, it will even be said of redeemed sinners. This is truly amazing. And it causes John to say, 1 John 3, behold what manner of love the Father has shown unto us that we should be called sons of God. For he is everlasting, eternal Father. And it belongs to Christ to be the eternally begotten Son. And yet so great is God's love to us in Jesus that he says of us by adoption what is rightly said of the Lord Jesus Christ by right, by nature, by character. And so truly amazing that we would be called sons of God. And if we are sons of God, then we are peacemakers. We have come to peace with the Lord. We have been reconciled to God. And this wonderful passive imperative, like 1 Corinthians 5:20, the ambassadors of God announce to us, as preachers, as evangelists, announce to us, he reconciled to God. Well, it's a command, but it's passive, because it's a command that we can't keep. And yet, when we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who is the keeper of all righteousness, including the righteousness of being at peace with God. You remember when Jesus went to John to be baptized with John's baptism, which was a baptism that indicated who needs repentance. And John said, no. I need to be baptized by you. I need spirit baptism. You don't need to be baptized by me. You don't need water baptism. And you remember what Jesus said, that he should permit this because it is proper for thus we keep. It is proper for us thus to keep all righteousness. So that John's keeping of righteousness comes by what the Lord Jesus does, and what the Lord Jesus does in union with us. The keeping of our righteousness is by Christ, and therefore in union with him, we have him and his keeping of righteousness. So we are called sons of God in union with Christ, who makes us, first of all, peacemakers with himself. Now, the peace here is not just a ceasing of hostilities. Both first in the Hebrew word shalom in the Old Testament, and then picked up and translated by the Greek word eirene in the New Testament, peace includes complete wholeness, health, strength, proper and full conformity to God's design for goodness in the whole of the creation. It is exactly the opposite of what we actually see in the creation, where the creation is currently bound to corruption and to decay. But a believer who has come to peace with God himself loves to manage the creation, manage the creature in a way that honors God and images him. We see that from which we have fell. We have fallen from the glory of God. Man fallen short of the glory of God. And that means we have fallen from enjoying God and his glory in all that he has made, but also from employing all of the creation for the display of and response to the glory of God. And so the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. When, on the day of the resurrection, the sons of God are revealed, not just by this gradual change of character that goes on throughout this life, but having been perfected in holiness at the end of this life, they are also revealed by the sudden and complete change of their bodily appearance. We will be resurrected with glorious bodies like unto Christ's glorious body. And it is at that point that the creation will be set free from its bondage and enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God, to use the language of Romans 8, 19 to 21. Now, it's important that we be perfected in soul and resurrected in body before the new creation comes. Because if we were sinners still, or if we were bodiless still, we would not properly manage the new creation in the image of God. And yet, if anyone is in Christ, he is already a new creature. And so even in this creation, there are benefits that come, even to the creatures, such as the Lord describes coming to the trees of the land, in Israel, when Israel is righteous, and the fields of the land, when Israel keeps proper, Sabbaths according not only to the moral law, the weekly Sabbath, but the ceremonial calendar that the Lord gave them. And even the beasts benefit from having Sabbath-keeping masters. And not only that, but in terms of how the creation is employed, it benefits much from these shalom-seeking, shalom-pursuing, redeemed saints. It is a reflection of the goodness of God in the creation, wherever saints reflect the goodness of their Redeemer as they manage the creation. So sons of God, not only in relating to God, to whom we are reconciled, God reconciling the cosmos to himself, he says, in that context in 2 Corinthians 5, if we're going back, we quoted, I think, from verse 20, but back into verse 17, 18, 19, of that passage. Then also sons of God in relating to our neighbors. We know that believers are to follow, as it says in Romans 12, if at all possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Well, there is an extent to which it doesn't depend upon us at all, because we are unable to create peace. And the first great thing that can be done to live at peace with our neighbor is to always be ready to give them an answer for the hope that is within us, and to do whatever we can to have as our heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they might be saved, as Paul says of the Israelites in Romans 10, verse 1. But then later, he says that he seeks to magnify his own ministry, even though his ministry does not initially lead to the conversion of many Jews, because he's a minister to the Gentiles. But he does the part that God has given him in his part of God's plan with all his heart, in hoping that others will be saved. Well, we may not be called to the ministry of preaching the word, to quote unquote do the work of an evangelist, as Timothy is commanded. But we are to be wise in how we speak to outsiders. We are to have as our heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they would be saved. We are to do as well and as God honoringly as we can every part of what God has given us to do, in hopes that God will use it in part of his plan to save some, to save others. And so the Lord gives us many opportunities, and we are to take them for the salvation, for the conversion of others. This is the first great way to live at peace with our neighbor. And of course, we do and desire to do as little as possible to give offense to our neighbor. And so we are sons of God in relation to God, in relation to creation, in relation to the neighbor, and in relation to our brother. Once someone is converted, they are in Christ, and they've been reconciled to God in Christ. Ephesians 2 tells us that when two people are reconciled to the same God and the same Christ, they are also reconciled to one another. That the Lord Jesus, who has come and he's preached peace to us, through which he brought us ourselves into peace with God, he also gives us peace between ourselves and each other. And so a big part of the Christian life is living according to the character of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4 verse 30 tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but instead to let be put away from us all bitterness. So we refuse to be bitter. We take as little offense as possible, and we let the offense go immediately. Put away from us all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and evil speaking. We don't make a big deal of or conflict about what others in the church do to us. Be kind to one another. And this is not just a kindness of the hand, but tender-hearted. And not just when the other one seems to be doing well towards us, but especially when they're doing ill towards us. Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. And so you see this sonship, adoption, imitation of God, conformity to Christ, that is the basis of having peaceful relationships with one another. It is a properly experienced sonship towards God, and a properly expressed sonship towards God, that makes us this sort of peace-keeping people. Again, in Colossians 3, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. So you have, and that doesn't mean a false complaint, it means a legitimate complaint. And yet bearing and forbearing, bearing and forgiving. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so the peace of God ruling in our hearts, the fact that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and God is for us, and nothing can ultimately turn out to be for our harm, all must turn out to be for our good, bringing every thought, every situation, every feeling, every response to the gate where the peace of God acts as arbiter, acts as ruler. And that is what enables us to be patient and forgiving with others, because we see everything through the lens of God intending everything for our good. And that is what enables us to be so humble and gentle and forgiving and patient. It is an indication that we are sons of God and that we are coming at last on the last day to be owned before men and angels, before heaven and earth, as the children of God, to be vindicated and so conformed to Christ in the last day that he will not despise to be called the firstborn among many brethren. He is rightfully called the only begotten Son of God, but he will not despise in the last day to be called instead, not instead, in addition, the firstborn among many brethren, because of the completeness of the conformity that he will have worked in us by his Spirit. And so, in a household, in a life, where there are many opportunities to be at conflict, to insist upon your honor and your due, to hold a grudge and be bitter, you have instead many opportunities to show that you are the children of God by having the peace of Christ, the peace of God, rule in your hearts, and to be peacemakers with one another. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your Holy Scripture. We ask that your Spirit would write it upon our hearts, that we would come into more enjoyment of and expression of our sonship in Christ. In whose name we ask it. Amen.